Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
40 greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mockbill Yarbrough, and I'll be filling in for Sunny for a few weeks. Let's get into the September 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Tipping off this exciting episode with some basketball back and forth with my main man, Action Jackson Vunganyi. We discussed the FIBA Basketball World Cup and the state of world basketball, the NBA preseason, and who may dethrone the Denver Nuggets. All that and a whole lot more. Let's take a listen. On today's segment of the Sunny Side of Sports, I have with me my main man, Action Jackson.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's going on, Jackson?
What's up, Mookbill? I'm back, baby.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Like I never left.
Man, it's like we're still doing BAL stuff. It's like we're in the same spot.
Listen,
no
it's
movement.
It's a pleasure to be in studio with you, chopping it up about basketball and any other topic, man. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Let's get right into it. The FIBA World Cup ended earlier this month, as you know. What are your thoughts on the level of play of the world since Germany defeated Serbia in the final? And they both happened to stop the U.S. and Canada, which I believe a lot of people thought should have made the finals.
Right. Listen, so much to say about FIBA this year in terms of how all the other teams outside of the U.S. have done so well in raising their level of play. And you can tell because the U.S. used to come in swinging previously. They never used to lose. And now it's becoming common that the U.S. will probably lose the next FIBA. You know what I'm saying? So the question really is, Mockbill, is has the U.S. Has it declined in terms of their play, their level of play, or has the world gotten better? You know, has the rest of the world gotten better? Countries like Serbia, countries like Germany, countries like France. I mean, Germany of all places,
yeah.
Really, like, I would never have forecasted Germany
right.
being on top or beating the U.S. or Canada for that matter, or even Serbia for that matter. But listen, this is where we are right now. And it is a testament to, you know, the evolution of the game of basketball on the international level that all these other countries have invested as much as the U.S., in terms of infrastructure, in terms of pipelines of that lead to the major leagues, whether it's the smaller minor leagues, whether it's the academies, whatever they have that is creating the type of players that we see, the caliber of players that we see right now on the global stage taking on the U.S. The giants, you know, I mean, when you think about it, the NBA really, like how many, the last couple of MVPs have been foreign players?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Another testament
yep.
that these guys, the rest of the world is getting better. Again, is the U.S. declining or is the world catching up to the rest of the world?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think that the world is catching up. I still feel as though the NBA and the U.S. still have the best basketball talent across the board.
Right.
The problem now is when you are somebody who holds a lot of teams and a lot of players now, they hold the NBA championship of their team higher than, for instance, a FIBA World Cup.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So now you have a team that went out to play FIBA that is not the cream of the crop of the U.S. side,
of the
if we're going to be completely
yeah,
honest, right?
Right.
You got guys that are high-level guys like Anthony Edwards, you know, but at the end of the day, you don't have the marquee guys.
Right.
Steph Curry, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum.
Right.
These guys are not there. So when you don't have those marquee players, you know, and you end up playing a team like a Germany, for instance, who, by the way, the most valuable player of the tournament was Dennis Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder.
You know, Schroeder is a
Listen,
beast, you know.
One of my favorite
oh,
players
I love him.
Of all time.
He's scrappy.
Yes.
You know.
Scrappy little kid. Like, on the court.
Yeah.
I don't know the teams. Like, I don't understand how the NBA has been fumbling on this kid. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he showed that he still got it.
He showed his
worth. I don't know whether they were thinking that he's at the tail end of his career. This is going into the next contract negotiation. Is he with the LA Lakers?
I believe he's with the Toronto Raptors at the moment. He's with the Raptors now.
I mean, Lakers let him go at the peak of his career, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that was a very big mistake, as you can see.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you believe the NBA champion right now, the Denver Nuggets,
yes,
are the world champions?
Oh, that's a great question posed by Noah Lyles, right? And honestly speaking, I understand the argument for both, but if we're just going to be completely frank when it comes to linguistically and fitting in the parameters of what a world champion is supposed to be, they are not world champions. Right. They are national champions.
Right. They're world caliber champion, maybe.
Yes,
but they're
absolutely.
Not,
right? Yeah. But because here's the thing, right? You can't be a world champion, number one, when you have a multitude of different countrymen playing within an organization anyways.
Right.
Because a world champion
is
representing the world.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
So if the Denver Nuggets were all American born players, maybe then you would have a stronger case. But even then, that means that you have to go out and play the team that won in FIBA, the team that won in the Australian League. And even though you may be able to beat them, you haven't beat them. Because here's the thing. If we know one thing, assumptions is assumptions. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
If we were until proven otherwise.
if we
were to assume the U.S. should have won the FIBA World Cup.
Right.
They didn't.
Absolutely.
So that means that there's always a fighting chance. And, you know, to see a team like Serbia, man, come second place without having the MVP of the NBA.
Yes, yes. What happened? Why wasn't he playing for them?
He opted to, because he had a long season with the Nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, the playoff run is so lengthy that if you would have played FIBA and then preseason starts October 5th, you have 1 month to rest after you've played an entire season plus an entire playoff run.
Yeah.
It would have been exhausting. Both him and Jamal Murray opted to stay out of both their teams.
Very smart decision on their part.
Absolutely. I think Jamal Murray's team, the Canada team, which was a very strong team as well, finished in third place, ended up beating the U.S. side in the third place game.
The first time that Canada has ever won a medal internationally,
right,
by the way.
But I think right now the level of play of Canada is stepping up ridiculous.
Oh,
I think to me, my favorite player in the tournament was SJA.
Yes.
I think he is phenomenal talent.
I'm surprised, first of all, that Canada had not been performing on the level they have, given their proximity to the U.S. and the ability to access. They have very great facilities. They have they can pull some talent from the U.S. or their kids can come here to play and study here. So I'm surprised that they're just catching up right now. But either way, it is, you know, it's never too late. And I'm glad that their program, whatever investments they've made in the last couple of years, that now is starting to show. I wanted to find out from you, based on the last what would you say was the most surprise for you, the most improved team? Did you have that moment where you watched the game and you're like, this team really surprised me, they've come a long way?
When it comes to FIBA?
Yes.
For sure, South Sudan, by far.
100%.
South Sudan, it's their first time in their tournament.
Yes.
And they ended up winning three games. So they only won one game in the group stages, but won the other two games. So now they're going to be actually ranked, and they will be playing in
Absolutely.
Paris.
Glad you say that, because that was exactly going to be my response to
Nooney and the boys, man. Nooney and the guys.
Shout out to Noel Deng.
Phenomenal.
You know, all the work that he has done to really uplift that program. South Sudan, a couple of years ago, the only thing we knew for them from South Sudan in terms of basketball is that they had really tall guys.
Middle ball.
And like, where are they? we see Manutball, then we saw Luol Deng couple of years later. And now look at them representing on a global stage and really doing really well.
Right. But just to piggyback that point, to me, Luol Deng is the epitome of what an African star should do. You use your star power to come back to the continent and help rebuild from the ground up, infrastructure-wise.
Give back,
you know? So he's doing that on a great level.
Personal resources.
His connections, his networks. He's also an ambassador for the Basketball Africa League. So he's also, you know, networking and making sure that, hey, I'm not just here doing everything on my own. I'm willing to work with other African institutions institutions that want to help develop the brand and the sport of basketball. Because as we know, you know, football is the biggest sport in the world. It's the biggest sport on the continent and pretty much almost everywhere else in the world. You know, even in the U.S., it's starting to move at a rapid pace, you know.
Absolutely.
So to kind of not necessarily combat that, but give young individuals an opportunity to get out from some of the difficult situations that they're in through using a game, using sport as an avenue.
And again, shout out to Luol Deng. And like just like you said, we want to see more type Luol Deng type initiatives from African Africans in the diaspora who have done really well for themselves. It doesn't have to be necessarily in basketball or even soccer. It can be in technology. We have some of the best developers on the continent. We have some of the best entrepreneurs from the continent living in the West who have achieved so much, done so well for themselves. And the best way to give back to your people is really to go back and uplift, give back some of your skills. People usually think that, you know, like giving money is the only way to do it. But really, I think the most important part is to give your knowledge and yourself and your time to these type of initiatives. You know, youngest continent in the world, average age of 70% of young people on the continent below the age of 21, what we call a demographic dividend. Mm-hmm. And there's so much potential there that can be tapped, whether it's in sports, whether it's in, you know, technology, whether it's in
entertainment,
all these things. And we have very many accomplished people out here in the West, Africans living in the diaspora, who could, you know, emulate Luol Deng and give back to the continent.
Now, moving back to the NBA, so the NBA preseason starts next week, October 5th. And as we just mentioned earlier, the Denver Nuggets won last year. Do you think, Jackson, that they can go back-to-back next year? And if so, obviously you and I both mentioned that it was a great move for Nikola and Jamal to rest, right?
Yeah.
So do you think they can go back-to-back?
Listen, the NBA, especially the kind of conference they're in, is quite tricky. You've had all these teams that have been prepping, you know, beefing up their rosters, making moves here and there. So the NBA of 2023 is not going to be the same as 2024. Things change really fast. But on the other hand, Jamal and Jokic are still very healthy, very strong, and it's quite smart on their part not to participate in FIBA, because you can tell that there was intention there in terms of, like, we want to be prepared for when it really matters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really does matter when you play for your country, you know, just to say.
Right.
But, you know, for them, they are paid the big bucks by these teams, and they want to stay healthy for them and, you know, and do the most with their season. In terms of other teams that I would say, I mean, Miami Heat, if Miami was to make a play for Damian Lillard, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. I think Miami's been right there. They just need an extra step. They just need that one. I wouldn't say an answer to Jokic, because Jokic right now is playing at an unbelievable level. But yeah, if they had somebody like a Dame Lillard who adds that additional unique aspect, it would force Jamal Murray to really be guarding somebody out there, right?
Yeah.
So if Jamal is now being tired on the defensive end, it takes away from his offense.
Yes.
You know, you never want to let an individual with that kind of an offensive talent kind of
to
rest.
Be held down, to be bogged down.
Yeah, but you don't want to let them rest and so that they can just get off on offense.
Yeah.
Because that's really what was happening to a majority of the teams.
Mm.
He wasn't really guarding like the most offensively driven guys. He was kind of being given the assignments where he can kind of just jump in pockets and help a little bit, but really he was meant for the offense, you know? So I think Miami would be a good option. Lastly, though, Paris Olympics 2024, there have been rumors that LeBron and the likes did not like what happened at FIBA and said, we must bring the Avengers together for one last hurrah.
It's going to be epic. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to be epic because you know they're going to come in with a bone to pick after
FIBA.
You know, oh, I'm sure many of them are thinking, why did we not
participate?
We should have done. Because now, you know, because it puts into question the whole, you know, NBA and your superiority, because people now checking.
Right, you know what I'm saying? You guys are not even that.
Yes.
Like, a second place, like, we ranked higher than you guys, and we didn't even have Jokic on the Serbian
team. Absolutely. So, you know that, you know, LeBron James, I'm quite sure that it's a rumor right now, but I think it's something that is being planned. I can see LeBron wanting to go out on top. You know what I'm saying? Like, he probably still has one gold medal, Olympic gold medal for him, and he wants to go with that, you know, that achievement, with that accolade. But yeah, and he's also the only guy that can probably rally all the other big stars to come and play for him. You know, KD and all of them, they listen to him. He's such an influential figure in basketball, in American basketball. Also, historic figure in American basketball. It'll be nice to see him play this one, because, again, he's going in with a bone to pick, and just to show American basketball is not yet dead. We're here.
Right.
You know, we're still strong.
Right. No, I like that. I think it'll be a nice touch for his documentary to come, too.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
It'll be
absolutely.
A nice little touch.
Icing on the cake, yeah.
But, yeah, Jackson, it's always a pleasure, my brother. Thank you for being on a segment with me today.
Thank you so much.
Staying on the basketball court, University of Missouri head coach Marvin Menzies spoke with reporter Mike Mbonia and says there is a need for continuous training of African coaches to update their knowledge of the game. He says this will help the young players before they come to the United States, whether it be for college or to go to the next level.
The African coaches do a really good job with what they have to work with. I think some things have changed in recent years, which give them even more access to creditable information to help the talent there in Africa. I feel like reaching out to the internet sources and establishing contacts that they can communicate with now more frequently. I have a lot of relationships that we have phone calls on WhatsApp and we share information. As you know, we do a monthly clinic online in care of M Squared Academy there in Lagos, Nigeria. So there's resources out there. I think the more and more the coaches thirst and thrive to gain that knowledge, they can find it. And as a result, the younger talent especially can really benefit from the coaches investing in themselves like that.
As a coach with working experience in Africa, do you think African basketball coaches need more training to boost their knowledge?
I do think there's a amount of training that coaches need to go through, almost to be just assured that they have the basic fundamental knowledge to be able to give the correct information to the younger players in Africa. I'm not sure what's currently in place there, but I think one of the things I've done, and a few of my friends have come over and done clinics and maintained an online Zoom presence where we have monthly clinics with the coaches there, especially the coaches at some of the schools, as well as the there's some national coaches that have come over and taken part in the visit, and a lot of the academies in the different regions have come from the north and the south to take advantage of the clinics when we do them. So I just think if they continue to try to make themselves better, obviously the more knowledge they have, the better off the players will be, especially the younger guys who are getting to work early. I think one of the big differences between the American kids and the African kids is just how much training they get at a younger age. I think there's a nice even balance that can be put forth between academics and athletics. And I feel like there needs some initiatives that allow the players to understand that balance and continue to give them the education, because for lack of a better word, the genetics or the natural talent of the kids in Africa is just phenomenal. And I would hope that they would continue to receive awesome coaching and great instruction in order for them to be successful either there or if they travel abroad.
Coach, what's your take on the standard of the game of basketball in Africa? Do you think players from the continent have given good account of themselves abroad?
There's so many talented young men that have come over from the African continent, especially the western region of Africa, that have brought their talents to the U.S. and have done phenomenal things and been very impactful into the game of basketball here. I know that there were, I believe, 8 or 9 NBA players drafted that had Nigerian descent just a couple years ago, and there's several Africans represented in the NBA and even more in the college ranks. And I just feel like there's just so much more potential. I think as the coaching and the training and the development increase in Africa and the different regions, I think you're going to continue to see this trend, and hopefully one day those particular players will be in a position to give back kind of together. I know there's a lot of camps and clinics that a lot of the NBA guys do, and then they come over and they donate their time and services. But I think they could even be more influential in Africa if they banded together. So that's something that's been in the been on the table and guys have been talking about, from what I understand.
That was Marvin Menzies, head coach of the University of Missouri. He spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye on the phone from Missouri in the United States.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Making our way to the field, South Africa's team has arrived in India and begun preparation for the 2023 ICC Cricket World Cup. This is the 13th edition of the sports premier tournament being staged in India for the fourth time. The Proteas, as they are nicknamed, are the only African country in the 10-team tournament. They play Sri Lanka in their opening match on October 7th in Delhi. Myron Nacker has more from Durban, South Africa. Sporty greetings, Myron.
Sporty greetings, Mukbeal. In the cricket-crazy country of India, South Africa's players are hoping to finally get their hands on the coveted World Cup trophy. They've been close to the championship in the past, reaching the semi-finals in 4 of their 8 appearances in the tournament. The class of 2023 is led by Cape Town-born batsman Themba Bavuma. At a news conference before the team left for India, he said they aim to play positive cricket, backed by the team's experience playing in India.
We've spoken a lot about being bold, being fearless, being positive, always looking for moments to move the game in our favour. And that's what the guys have really challenged themselves and each other to go out and do within the field. Seeing the kind of performances guys have put up, you know, has really given us proper strong confidence in each other, and really that belief that I feel we'll need for the next couple, for the next upcoming weeks.
The Proteas boast a roster with plenty of experience in India. David Miller, Quinton de Kock and Kagiso Rabada have played many seasons in the world's biggest franchise competition, the Indian Premier League. Bavuma thinks their understanding of local conditions will aid the team's approach.
We're fortunate that we have a lot of our guys who have experience of having played in India, whether it's the players, whether it's the coaching staff who've had coaching experience there. So we'll be trying to put all of that together to be able to formulate, I guess, the best strategy and plan for us to be successful in those conditions.
Each team will play each other once in the group phase of the competition before the top four meet in the semi-finals. At the news conference, team coach Rob Walter said they understand the team's purpose and what it means to its millions of Rainbow Nation fans.
The role of the team is to provide inspiration and hope and unify. It's that simple. But the way to doing that is playing a brand of cricket that people can get excited about. And secondly, obviously, everyone likes to win. So while playing the brand of cricket that we want to play, that we want to excite people who watch the game and watch the Proteas play, we also understand that we're a vehicle for inspiration for the country.
In the run-up to the action, the team is based in Thiruvananthapuram, a beach town in the South Indian state of Kerala. South Africa will play warm-up matches against Afghanistan and New Zealand in the coming days. The tournament kicks off October 5th with England taking on New Zealand. The final is set for November 19th. South Africa's big opener against the 1996 champion Sri Lanka will be in what is expected to be a packed stadium in Delhi. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Myron Naika in Durban, South Africa.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1. Then 202-258-3076.
Lastly, making our way to the football pitch, the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations will be jointly hosted by Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, while Morocco will stage the 2025 edition. The Confederations of Africa Football announced on the selection today. Taking the tournament to East Africa follows a statement this year by CAF President Patrice Motsepe that he did not want successive tournaments in the same region. We'll have more about AFCON in the coming days. And that's a wrap for the September 27th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great Wednesday. I'm Mukbil Yabaro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia when we debate critical and controversial issues of our day. You can listen to the program following VOA News every Saturday and Sunday, either on the radio or online at voaafrica.com and other online podcast websites. That's Encounter on the Voice of America.
I'm Nabil Biagio, and here's what's coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A recent United Nations report highlights that civilians still suffer the most from the violence in South Sudan. And some politicians are applauding President Salva Kiir's recent signing of the National Election Act as a step toward next year's elections. These stories and more at 16:30 UTC in Juba and 1700 UTC in Kenya on VOA Africa.
The departure of the French ambassador to Niger and anti-French sentiment permeating across former West African colonies, many of whom have recently experienced military coups. Tune in to our radio and TV show Straight Talk Africa with Heidi Adams. Today at 18:30 UTC.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05.